$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is a mini episode. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Mm-hmm.
Howdy do, Richard, and Brian Higgins.
Howdy do, Mark.
Welcome back from San Francisco.
Yes.
We're glad you're no longer stuck in the Ricearoni state.
Yes.
That's the official song. Do you want
to sing the If You're Going to San Francisco song
three more times?
I think it's
played out at this point. I kind of tortured Rick with it, so.
I think we're good.
I can sing a different one. I left my heart in San... What's the Tony Bennett one?
You're just going to go into the other song.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Be sure to
wear your hat there. Well, anyways, welcome back, guys. We're all back in the room together.
Yeah.
How we doing?
For a large mini-episode.
What do you mean?
It's just there's three of us.
Okay, yeah. You're saying this episode's large and in charge?
Well, it's going to be larger.
That being our shortest mini episode
yet. It could be. Well, it could be extended
a
little bit because it's good that Brian's back because we are actually celebrating Brian's birthday weekend.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Okay. It'll be a birthday big celebration.
You can notice at your feet there we have a few beverages for you.
Indeed. Tasty
and we're
beverages.
Also having beverages.
And a recycle bin. I should probably move that.
I thought that was one of the gifts. Recycling bin of ESPN magazine.
That's not gifts.
Oh no, that's Sports Illustrated.
No,
they don't
ESPN
do that with ESPN.
No, they do the body issue.
No one wants to see Trey Wingo and Dan Patrick in a swimsuit.
I want to see Chris Berman.
Oh my. Back.
Yeah, you see plenty of Chris Berman's back.
Goodbye. So, Brian, we actually have a few gifts here to celebrate your birthday.
Geez.
Rick, would you like to go first, sir?
Sure.
Is it a GoBot?
Brian,
I did not. Last episode.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I actually listened to one of our episodes.
To an episode.
Brian.
Oh, my.
I have even wrapped this.
This is actually a wrapped gift.
And
I helped.
I cut
the tape.
Yeah, it was wrapped in with electrical tape.
I'm going to open it into the microphone for our ASMR
exactly.
listeners.
Exactly.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. They probably don't feel as relaxed. It's good. You're staring it.
These are both special. To me.
You are so special to Rick.
Beardos, the name that beard
name
game.
Name the beard game.
And Ren and Stimpy playing cards.
Yes.
Je de carte.
Yes.
Wait, is it French?
It's both bilingual.
Hey, Mr. Carte.
Officially licensed.
I figured since this is the, you know, movies from our youth. Ren and Stimpy is also from our youth.
And beards are not, though.
And beards
are
from...
Beards are
currently, I have a large beard right now.
When Ren and Stimpy first came on the air on Nickelodeon,
yes.
That was my favorite of that lineup.
Oh, yeah. Of the SNICK
it
lineup?
It wasn't SNICK. That was Saturday Night Nick.
I thought Ren and Stimpy was part of SNICK.
No, it was part of the lineup with Doug and Rugrats.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the original SNICK lineup was... Clarissa Explains It All at 8, Roundhouse at 8:30, Ren Stimpy at 9, Are You Afraid of the Dark at 9:30.
Well, that could be true.
They might have used it there as well,
yeah.
But it originally debuted as part of that.
Brian never stayed up late.
on a Saturday night.
I stayed up late for SNICK.
Gotta stay up late for SNICK.
Because I was afraid of... Was that the one that had, like, Zeke the Plumber?
Well, then I'll Salute Your Shorts.
Salute Your Shorts had Zeke the Plumber, but there was another... It was, like, the clown with the nose that you had
that
to
That was Are You Afraid
off.
Of the Dark. For my gift, Brian... I'm going to actually hand you things, and you can describe them.
Oh.
Because I have...
Well, show them the bag first.
Well, you're going to describe. So first, let's describe the bag here.
Don't look at the gifts yet.
Oh, it has a T-Rex that's wearing a party hat, and it says, "Hooray! I'm a T-Rex." It doesn't say I'm a T-Rex, but I'm just
Mark should
that for
he
the,
should have wrote it on there.
So the first item is so this is your gift, but if you choose to share it with your Movie Cave co-hosts, you can pass it along. So here's the first item.
Oh my, they are deluxe wristbands, Star Wars. There's an R2-D2, a Darth Vader, a Chewbacca, and a Stormtrooper.
There you go. So if you want to put any of those on, and we'll put them on as well.
Yeah, I think we have to do
maybe
that.
We'll tweet out a picture of them.
Am I Chewbacca because of my hair?
Well, I think you have to just because the noise you just emitted.
Oh, I thought you were opening a cabinet.
That was the best video. So, YouTube that. Search for Chewbacca cabinet.
Chewbacca cabinet.
Let's see. Well, we have Stormtrooper, Darth Vader, and R2-D2. Which one do you like, Mark?
I'll take R2. Let's see if it actually fits.
You could be Darth.
It's small. It might not fit.
That's Rex. Don't put Rex.
Oh, that's Rex. They're all the same size, though.
Well, yeah, but you don't.
Give me Chewbacca.
There you go. R2.
How am I going to get this
on? Yeah, this is not going to fit around my hand.
Oh, I got it on.
This through.
I got it.
There we go.
We're good.
you just gotta maneuver it.
Shove it in there.
It's not tight.
Fit them in there.
Yeah, once you get it on, it's fine.
Oh, no, I did it. It's opposite.
This is like a child's bracelet.
I got it.
But now the challenge will be getting them back.
That's true.
Especially after we drink.
That's true. All right, so next up. So if anyone who knows me, they know one of my favorite go-to things, and I have our former Teen Wolf guest is also into one of our favorite things, but I don't think he would appreciate this version as much as you. So,
oh, it's the Golden Girls Mad Libs.
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, I could get that for our friend John, but I don't think he would actually put the time and effort into doing Mad Libs like you would.
When
so.
You're surfing, we might have to do one of these as the part of the episode.
I was going to say, let's do one later.
I think so. That would be fun. So.
Yes.
And then, now I know both you guys, I still have yet to see,
hey,
but I know
guys.
Both of you guys have seen the Justice League movie.
Yes.
Yes.
And we all know the most
I own it,
popular
so you can watch it.
Character from the Justice League is...
Wonder Woman?
The Parademons.
When you think of Justice League, I got you a cyborg mask.
Oh,
right.
Oh. That's awesome.
That should be the picture.
There you go.
How do I look?
Wonderful. You kind of look like the Phantom of the Opera a little bit.
I was hoping you would say like a hood ornament.
Oh.
As like a Rocketeer call.
Oh, okay. I did not think of that.
That is not, so. My mind does not work like that.
All right. And then the next thing, I got two more things.
Does it give you any powers?
What's Cyborg's powers? What's his, is he strong?
Zap.
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 Yes, Cyborg you get the same powers as Scott Baio in the movie Zapped. Did you ever see that movie with him and Willie Ames? Reteaming from Charles in Charge?
I was going to say, isn't that just a Charles in Charge
thing? No,
they're
both in that movie.
Didn't it predate Charles in Charge?
Oh, it might have been before. You're right. That's true.
What's Willie Ames done?
I don't know what this is, but
what?
It seemed
you
fun.
Bought it
I
for?
Don't know what this is.
It's called a Squishy Delish.
Squishy Delish. It says, slow rise.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Squeeze me. Wacky one, collect them all.
Yep, some wacky things.
Based on the back, there's a toilet, a trash can, some monsters, a brain, a shark, and a swim.
They kind
of
look like something you'd make from like the Creepy Crawlers lab or something like that.
Let's
see which one
crawlers.
You get.
Oh, it looks like it's
remember that?
Yellowish.
Looks like an alien.
A UFO, I guess, an alien, or like a really nasty fried egg.
So it's a stress ball.
Yeah,
squishy.
It's a squishy stress ball.
Yeah,
and you squish it, and then
he
you,
gets
does
really
it feel weird.
No, it's just a stress ball.
Oh yeah,
he gets really like... angry on our show, so this would be perfect
for
him.
This will get me through some of our
especially
reviews.
Talking about a Mel Gibson movie.
All
right, and one more thing. So Brian, we all know your love of board games. We
do
board game nights. It's always a gamble to get you a board game because you own every single board.
I own a lot,
but I saw this one and. If for anything, if you own it already,
if I own it already, you'll take it.
The joke about it, or just the title of it alone, is it's okay to repeat and to mention on air. So just take it out of the bag. Here's the whole bag.
Oh, I do not own this one.
Yes,
it's called Fake News or Not.
It's the game of fake news,
a party game about life's craziest news stories.
Yes. I will love
fake
to play
news
that.
Or not.
It looks fun too.
It's a captivating game about phony, funny stories and ludicrous true tales. Life writes the craziest stories, but what can we believe? And what is just a pack of lies? Who is telling the truth and whose pants are on fire?
Oh.
Find it out with the game for know-it-alls, wiseacres, and lovers of interesting and trivial knowledge.
I like that term, wiseacres. That's always fun. So there you go. It seems fun.
Yeah.
Not fake news.
It has 200 double-sided fake news cards.
Wow.
16 voting cards.
Hours
and
of fun.
And instructions.
Yeah.
And it's for 2 to 8 players.
There we go.
There we go.
Well, wow. There you go, sir. Happy birthday
successful
to you.
Successful gift giving.
Excellent.
Yay.
Nothing Bill that I already had.
Excellent adventure.
We did it. So happy birthday to you, Brian.
Thank you.
So as we mentioned, speaking of that stress ball a little bit, we did say if anyone had strong opinions about a Mel Gibson movie, because the full movie we did a reviews it of this past week was the original Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, I know you didn't you weren't here for the reviews. Did you ever see this movie or
I didn't watch it before.
Have you ever seen it?
I watched it kind of in the background today, so it was a very passive viewing.
Okay, yeah. Did you pick anything up out of it?
I picked up that Mel Gibson's just a piece of shit.
But from the movie?
No, just in general.
Okay.
Just,
yeah, I mean,
I hope he didn't come up with that revelation while his ass was hanging out.
Well, that didn't help. That certainly did not help.
And Rick, did you have any kind of further thoughts thinking about Lethal Weapon?
No, not really.
Well, one thought that I did have, because you guys brought up the Christmas movie debate and whatnot.
Well, it wasn't really a debate. We were saying that this one actually took place during Christmas.
Yes, it is more Christmassy than Time Cop.
I wouldn't say it's a Christmas movie, but it at least is set at the right time.
The biggest problem I have with it is the fact that they have Christmas music and they have Darlene Love, and they don't include the best Christmas song of all time, Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home.
Oh, yeah.
She plays Danny Glover's wife.
Oh, that's her?
That's her.
That's
Darlene Love, who you might recognize from the David Letterman show, singing it every year.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. The woman who made Awful Turkey.
Yeah.
That was her.
She wasn't a good cook because she was busy
concentrating on her
singing Christmas Baby Please Come Home.
That's crazy.
And they don't include that song.
That's good. It
should have been a no-brainer.
Yeah. Excellent point, Brian.
When was it released?
The song?
The song? Back in the 60s, I believe.
Yeah, so way
because it was on A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector.
So the biggest thing I picked up from this movie, and we had talked about before, is I had mentioned how growing up, you know, these movies were a little, you know, I was a little young when they were first released. So the ones that, like, 3 and 4 were more familiar to me. And I had said, like, before rewatching this movie, I used to confuse, like, the first and second one all the time. So it really kind of clarified it to me a little bit. And especially because the first one was probably the one I had seen the least. And I think it's kind of key to see when Riggs and Murtaugh first become partners together, to make that distinction. Otherwise, it's like, oh, they've always been working together. They always have this dynamic.
And yeah.
So I think it kind of solidified that. And
gotta say, this movie, it made me realize I'm getting too old for this shit.
Still a good. I did like the movie, despite, you know, obviously Mel's in it.
It's still
a good movie.
Not caring that it's Mel, or not caring about what happened in the last 10 years for him or whatever, it's a decent movie.
Yep.
It holds up. But if you absolutely hate him because of what's happened in the last 10, 15 years, then don't watch it. It's easy.
Well, it's simple as that. It's going to be a lot of movies.
It is more watchable than Daddy's Home 2.
There you go. So jumping into a little fun facts about this movie. So, Rick, at one point we were talking about, one of kind of the character or coloring parts they put in this movie is how Murtaugh turns 50.
Yes.
Where we even looked up the age difference between Gibson and Glover at the time in the movie and the characters are playing. So Gibson was actually 30 when the movie was filmed, and
Glover was 40.
And we were trying to figure out how old his character was supposed to be. Apparently Riggs was supposed to be 38. So he was playing 8 years older, and Danny Glover was playing 10 years older.
Not that bad.
Yeah, not too bad. In an E! True Hollywood Story from 1996, Gary Busey said he was hired to play Mr. Joshua because they were looking for someone who was big and menacing enough to be a believable foe against Mel Gibson. He also credits this film as the movie that revived his failing movie career.
Oh.
Because, you know, Gary Busey, when he was younger, before he kind of got his all crazy and deep voice, like, he was known for, like, the Buddy Holly story. Like, I would say, like, his
same years
and stuff like that, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just thought he came on the scene in like the late 80s, early 90s.
Nope.
You learn something new every day.
What did you learn yesterday?
I learned that, not really that fun, but the batteries of my drill are not covered by warranty.
Oh, that was a good thing to learn.
Yeah, it was upsetting. And most Rigid tools by Home Depot, they are covered under warranty.
Oh.
And I did not buy a Rigid. I bought a DeWalt.
You know what? Someone else just learned that because of you.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
See, there's an educational value
to this
podcast.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going for.
Murtaugh tells Riggs that Hunsaker saved his life in the Ladrang Valley in 1965. Mel Gibson would later go on to play Colonel Hal Moore in the movie We Were Soldiers in 2002, which is an adaptation of that same battle. You know, we talked about there's a lot of weird coincidences with this movie, because one of the plot points, as we find out, is that the bad guys used to be involved with Air America, which was the CIA front to smuggle drugs.
Not like, the liberal news radio network that Al Franken started.
Exactly. And then Mel Gibson would later go on to star in the movie Air America, so that was kind of weird. So one of the original director choices for this movie was Leonard Nimoy.
So
he was considered for directing, but he didn't feel comfortable doing action movies, and he was already working on Three Men and a Baby in 1987 at the time.
I didn't know he did that.
Also considered for the role of Riggs was Bruce Willis, but he turned it down. And he then got the role of John McClane in Die Hard.
So he turned it down for Die Hard?
And Mel Gibson turned down John McClane for Die Hard. So they turned down each other's roles.
I am glad about that.
I'm glad about that. That's one of those things where
I think Bruce Willis could have played this role.
But I can't see Mel Gibson playing John McClane.
I can't see Mel Gibson playing John McClane.
So, Rick, you remember the scene where we first see Riggs in action being a cop and he's making a deal at the Christmas tree lot there?
Yes.
So one of the drug dealers is a guy named Blackie Dammit. So that's his stage name. His real name is John Kiedis. He's the father of Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I didn't know
that's
that
awesome.
You were going to say that.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was just like I was about to joke, was one of them Anthony Kiedis?
Yeah, it was his dad.
Not kidding at all. Like, that was the joke that I was going to make. And I was like, let him get his fun fact out. that's weird. That's something I learned today. I have ESP. ESPN.
Well, that's in the trash can. It's the ESPN magazine.
Yeah. They send it to me every month. I don't order it. I don't pay for it.
Oh, Rick, you're going to love this fact.
Go.
This movie was the first, mark it in the history books, the first movie ever to show a modern cell phone. It was a portable Radio Shack model 17-1003. It was launched circa 1986, close to the filming dates of the movie.
That's awesome.
here's a fun fact for you guys.
Oh, is it from ESPN, the magazine?
QB pranks are something of a tradition in New England. Oh. Drew Bledsoe once filled Tom Brady's socks with enough dye to turn his feet purple for 3 weeks. In 2006, Brady was in the QB room when backup Matt Castle started to walk in with a chocolate shake. Brady put his foot by the door, and Castle ended up covered in shake, prompting Castle to spit some on Brady. The next day, Brady had a friend remove the tires from Castle's car and put them in his locker.
Very mean.
Yeah, that does not...
That makes Brady
that
seem like an asshole.
Very well for Tom Brady.
So besides Bruce Willis, other actors... Oh, my God. Listen to this list.
Okay.
So this is the list of actors that turned down the role of Martin Riggs before it went to Mel Gibson.
Oh, I want to hear this because I bet you there's like 100.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this. Ready?
Danny DeVito.
Kurt Russell.
Okay, I can see him playing
Patrick Swayze.
Nah.
Michael Keaton.
Oh, that'd be good.
Nicolas Cage.
Well, that's weird. He could be so young there.
Christopher Reeve.
That's weird.
Harrison Ford.
Okay, I can see that.
Liam Neeson.
Oh, that'd be good.
Pierce Brosnan. Kevin Costner. Eric Roberts.
Oh, weird, no.
Michael Douglas.
Okay.
Richard Gere.
Yep.
William Peterson.
Who's that?
From CSI.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Penn. Nothing on Sean Penn.
No, I didn't really care about... I don't like him much.
Jim Belushi.
What? Jim Belushi?
Christopher Lambert, the Highlander.
Oh, my God. No, he can't play that.
Well, he can't do it because there can only be one.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
Of course.
Kevin Kline.
Oh, he's a good actor. He could have played the role.
William Hurt.
Not William
Who's he married? Who's Kevin Kline married to?
Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, that's right.
Willem Dafoe.
Oh, he was good in the Florida Project.
That would be very weird.
No, yeah. William Dafoe is not a good...
Bruce Willis, who we mentioned. Charlie Sheen.
For some reason, I was ending that with Charlie Chaplin, and I was like, he would have been like 90.
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that would be a weird movie.
Even weirder, Dennis Quaid. Oh, I thought this was Randy Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid could have played
Jeff Bridges.
Okay, he could have played
Arnold.
Yeah.
What?
And finally, Rutger Hauer.
I don't see that.
That's quite the list.
I don't see that.
That is quite the list.
Like, how did they... That's a long...
I
think any movie now has
that
many
people.
Most
of them were sent the script and didn't respond.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
Yeah, probably.
I'll believe that, because you can't just...
Send it to the big action actors.
I doubt every single one of them were offered the role and then said, no. Because who wouldn't want to act next to Danny Glover?
Opposite Danny Glover.
I want to act opposite Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Richard Donner, the director, he has a director
He's also
trademark.
My favorite of Santa's reindeer.
Your favorite Santa's reindeer. He has a director trademark. Now, I can point out one of the references in the film, but apparently Richard Donner loves the Three Stooges, and he just peppers the movie with Three Stooges references. Now,
oh, yeah.
The one I can think of.
The Christmas Tree Lot.
The Christmas Tree Lot. That's the immediate one I can think of, but apparently other references throughout the movie.
They don't
get into it.
One thing that I noticed, I don't recall you guys mentioning this. Is it just me, or are they watching Family Feud?
Like,
all
with
the time.
Ray Combs?
Yeah, in every scene when they're in the house.
I did not notice that.
They seem to be watching Family Feud. Like, it's just the background noise.
Oh. I didn't notice that.
We always enjoy, when they show a movie, like you just mentioned, Brian, like a TV show in the background, like a movie theater marquee or something, too, that has a tie-in. So when Riggs and Murtaugh are walking down the street and they're talking to, the prostitutes, the movie theater marquee displays, quote, Lost Boys, this year's hit. Richard Donner produced the Lost Boys. So there was, a connection there.
Was it this year's hit? When did the Lost Boys come out?
1987.
There
you go.
Weird.
Here's a reference to something you brought up earlier, Brian. The soundtrack includes Elvis Presley's song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Darlene Love, who plays Murtaugh's wife, was a background dancer in Elvis's production, Elvis, in 1968.
And she sang a better Christmas song.
I was going to say,
that's the
fun fact is she sang another Christmas song, not that she was a backup dancer.
That's a weird one.
That's a dumb one. Dislike that one.
Rick, do you know the movie that reteamed Danny Glover and Gary Busey?
Operation Elephant Drop?
Well, no. 90s... The title is Operation Dumbo Drop.
Whatever.
1990s Predator.
Oh,
Predator
yeah.
2, Predator
yeah,
2.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Where Danny Glover once again played a cop,
and
Gary Busey once again played an ex-Special Forces soldier.
I want to see them reunited in an Angels in the Outfield and Rookie of the Year crossover film.
Oh, nice. There you go. The teams play each other.
Yeah,
I like that. In the realm of popular, quote, misconceptions, Roger Murtaugh never actually says, I'm getting too old for this shit in this particular movie. He simply says, I'm too old for this shit. He does, however, say he's getting too old for this shit in the sequels.
Oh. So they did it backwards.
He should say,
I'm getting too old for this shit in the first one. And then in the second one, be like, now I am too old for
this
shit.
Now I am. And other people considered for the role of Roger Murtaugh, Brian Dennehy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say me.
Brian Higgins and Dennehy. Well, you were busy. You were filming.
How old were you at this time?
When did this come out?
1989.
I was 6.
Yeah.
I could be getting too old for this shit.
It would be ironic.
I'm too old for this shit.
Oh, sorry.
I'm too old for this shit.
That sounded like Gizmo.
This my love chunk.
And we'll end on this quote.
Okay.
This is a fun one, because if there's any actor that was considered for both the main cop lead of Riggs and also one of the main villains of Mr. Joshua, so they pitched both roles to him, the great Ron Perlman.
Oh, that would have been kind of... Actually,
I could see him as Mr. Joshua. Not as Riggs.
I can't see him as Riggs. I mean, maybe if he was Hellboy, that'd be a weird crossover.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Are they redoing Hellboy?
They are doing a new Hellboy.
I know,
with
David Harbour from Stranger Things.
David Hyde Pierce. Yeah.
And no Abe Sapien, because the Fishman has been played out now since Shape of Water.
Oh.
And we'll end on this. This is the only Lethal Weapon...
How many endings are we going to have?
This is the only Lethal Weapon movie that was the first one in the series.
Well, this is the only Lethal Weapon movie of the franchise where Riggs' shoulder is not dislocated.
So oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though
he was chained up and everything, I thought he didn't do a dislocation.
Maybe that's why he did it.
All right, gents. We're now going to move on to the portion of the episode where we're going to connect the last movie we did, The Cutting Edge, and the current movie, Lethal Weapon. Did anyone think of anything? I came up with one.
I did not, because I forgot what the last movie
was. Okay. You got anything, Rick?
No.
Okay, I'm going to go. We're going to start with our favorite star of The Cutting Edge,
D.B. Sweeney.
D.B. Sweeney, who is in a fantastic movie with Mr. David Strathairn, 8 Men Out.
Yes.
And then in 8 Men Out, David Strathairn was in Good Night and Good Luck with Robert Downey Jr.
Indeed he was.
And Robert Downey Jr. was in the aforementioned Air America with Mel Gibson.
Oh.
The movie they even reference in Lethal Weapon. That's the connection. I'm sure there's a bit of a shorter one. I'm sure you'll find it, Rick.
I'm trying, but...
Oh, D.B. Sweeney was in The Resurrection of Gavin Stone with Neil Flynn, who was in Rookie of the Year with Gary Busey.
Oh, Neil Flynn from, like, Scrubs?
Yeah, from Scrubs.
Okay. All right, so there's the connection between the two movies. Kind of currently in the time of March Madness going on.
Oh, March Madness.
Much like March Madness, where they...
Marge Madness.
Where you have a bracket to follow. We usually have our own brackets that we pit against one another, contenders, in a thing we like to call King of the Thing. King of the Thing. King of the Thing. It's a royal dude. It's King of the Thing. King of the Thing. King of the Thing. Meghan Markle from Suits is going to join the family. King of the Thing.
I was the saxophone from Lethal Weapon.
I like, oh,
all right.
Sexy sax.
You were, what's his name? Elton John?
Eric Clapton.
Whatever.
Oh, but that was my other point of contention, because I always have to point out, anytime he scores a movie that we watch, that the score was provided also by Michael Kamen, who I met at Disney World.
Ah!
Like, just randomly?
And still
at
not...
At the Disney Institute.
Did you buy him a turkey leg?
I was a child.
And still not Michael Kamen.
Hello, I'm Michael Caine.
I'm going to score your music with British stars.
The King of the Thing now, Master Bruce.
So what is the King of the Thing this week,
Brian? So I figured the most appropriate theme to do here was Buddy Cops and our Buddy Cop movies.
Oh, I
like
this.
Riggs and Murtaugh.
Like Riggs and Murtaugh. And of course, I just wrote down the names of the movies because I don't feel like remembering the names of the characters.
I will try to remember the character names. That will be
my job. So this one, we're going
to
do an abbreviated one. Sometimes we do the 16. I'm just doing the top eight.
Top eight sounds great.
Eight
is great.
First, of course, we're starting with Lethal Weapon.
Okay, Riggs and Murtaugh.
We're putting that at number one. And then the number eight seed is 21 Jump Street.
Oh.
The Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum version.
Oh, God.
I don't remember their names.
It's a surprisingly
Johnny
entertaining
Depp and
series.
No. Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum.
I don't know. I've never watched the movie.
You never saw
the good.
Movie?
It's good. It's
funny.
Their characters
I'm going
in
with
this
Riggs
are
and Murtaugh.
Schmidt and Jenko.
Jenko. Yeah, okay.
I'm going with Lethal Weapon.
I'm
going
to go with Lethal Weapon 2. I mean, like we said before.
Wait, Lethal Weapon 2?
No, as well. Well, I'll go with all four of them, but.
Really? The fourth one?
Like I said, I mean, there were mismatched buddy cops, obviously, through the years, but this was, in my mind, really like the one that I remember as the one that kind of kicked off the whole genre. At least from my perspective.
I agree.
I'm going to go with them.
Okay. I accept your...
So then next we're going to have Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. Marcus Lowry and... No, Mike Lowry and Marcus something.
Brody.
Marcus Camby.
Marcus Brody.
Marcus Brody. Will Smith and...
and Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence.
So Bad Boys are going up against...
I also
Miami
just...
Vice.
Oh.
Specifically
wait,
Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx.
Oh, this movie version.
Yes, we are doing movie buddy.
Well,
Cops.
Then I'm going to have to go with Bad Boys cuz
I was going to go with Miami Vice if it was the series, if it was Don Johnson and
that other guy. No, the reason why is because Miami Vice is Bad Boys. The movie is like another Bad Boys.
It is. Yeah.
And so they just took Bad Boys.
Well,
so
let me do my little soapbox a little bit about the Miami Vice movie. I liked the Miami Vice movie. I don't think they should have called it Miami Vice. Like, I enjoyed
the
movie.
I don't think they should have.
It was Michael Mann. Michael Mann, obviously, he was integral to the original series. He made probably one of the best Cops and Robbers movies ever, Heat. But
Cops and Robbersons?
He made this
That's
movie,
one of my favorites.
And it was a good, gritty movie. It just
I liked it.
It shouldn't have been... Crockett and Tubbs, though. They should have changed the name.
It should have been something
shouldn't
else.
Shouldn't have been called Miami Vice, and I'd be like, I would have just enjoyed this movie as it is. So.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it less because they did Miami Vice.
Yeah,
they
will go
soiled
with,
Miami
Will
Vice's
Smith
name.
And Martin Lawrence.
All right.
Bad Boys
takes it. And Martin Lawrence's character is Marcus Burnett.
Marcus Burnett. There we go.
So next we are moving to 48 Hours.
Who's Mark Burnett?
That's the guy who makes Survivor.
Yeah, the producer.
and The Apprentice.
Okay.
Yeah. 48 Hours.
Okay.
So Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte. I don't remember.
No, I don't know their names. I don't even know if I've seen the whole movie. I'd have to watch it again.
Well, I watched it last year for the first time in full. I haven't.
So was, I may not have seen it in full either.
That's the first time ever. I
remember them in a bar scene.
And I never saw another 48 Hours, so I haven't seen the sequel.
Oh. Go, sorry.
Something Love?
It's Reggie Hammond and Jack Cates.
Okay.
I will give you the option, since neither of you have seen it all the way through.
I've seen the first one all the way through.
Well, we can switch to Beverly Hills Cop and fold in Judge Reinhold.
Well, because for me, Beverly Hills Cop would probably win because I enjoy the movie
Beverly
so much
Hills
more.
Beverly Hills Cop is not a buddy.
Yeah,
movie.
I mean, it's such an enjoyable movie.
Let's keep 48 Hours. All right. I have seen 48 Hours all the way through.
I've seen parts of it. So.
I haven't seen the sequel.
I don't like Nick Nolte, but.
All right, so it's 48 Hours versus The Nice Guys.
Oh, I love that movie.
So this is another Shane Black.
That was so, yeah, vehicle. Shane Black, who wrote Lethal Weapon.
With Russell Crowe as Jackson Healy and Ryan Gosling as Holland March.
I really freaking love Nice Guys.
Yes.
I really like The Nice Guys. You haven't seen it?
It's very good.
Oh, you got to see that movie, dude.
I don't think I've ever seen it because I don't even know, like, this doesn't even make sense to me.
It is a really, really good movie. This is tough because I love Eddie Murphy.
I mean, I'm going to have to go with that one only because I've seen that one.
I'm going to go with The Nice Guys because I really like that movie.
So
Brian has to make 48 Hours, but
Brian's
going to
make
it. It took me all that time to really watch it the first time through. And I love Nice Guys first time watching it.
I'm going
to
go Nice Guys so we have an upset.
Yeah, I like that.
Is it really an upset? I thought they were like
third and fourth seed. Lesser known, I'd say.
48 Hours was the 2 seed.
Yeah.
Nice Guys was the 7 seed.
I'd say it's the lesser known movie.
Yeah. And it's one that people should make an effort to see.
It's a really, I mean, for those in general, Ryan Gosling's a pretty good actor, but there are a lot of Gosling haters. This is probably like one of his best roles.
Yeah, he's great in it. Yeah. They're both great in it. Yeah. All right. So Nice Guys moves on, and that brings us to the third seed. Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I love that movie. That is my, to be honest, Hot Fuzz is my favorite movie of the Cornetto trilogy.
Oh.
Yeah. Hot take, Hot Fuzz.
So with that one, we have, of course, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost as Nicholas Angel and PC Danny Butterman.
Ah. Have you seen Hot Fuzz?
I have.
Okay.
I love Hot Fuzz, too. And the number 6 seed, Turner and Hooch.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to pick Hot Fuzz because Turner and Hooch has a sad ending. Hot Fuzz.
Sure, we'll go with that one.
Can I do a bit of a spoiler for a minute?
I have no. Hooch is gone.
Well, that's
Hooch is crazy.
That's the thing. I was talking about Hurt Turner and Hooch once with my wife, and I was like, it's so sad when Hooch dies at the end. She goes, he doesn't die at the end. I go, yeah, he does. And then she like looked it up, and she goes, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
And they haven't talked again since.
I was like, I ruined the ending for you. I go, you're thinking K-9 with Jim Belushi or Top Dog with Chuck Norris.
I was thinking of Cop and a Half with Burt Reynolds.
You're equating that small child
to... No, I'm not equating a small child to a dog. I'm just saying that I was just thinking about
that movie. I was thinking of Old Yeller.
Oh. So Hot Fuzz will advance over Turner and Hooch. So our top four, we have Lethal Weapon versus Bad Boys.
Lethal Weapon.
I like Bad Boys, though.
I
just watched Bad Boys again Bad Boys 2.
Here's one of the rare things.
I like Bad Boys 2 better.
So for the fact that I didn't like the first one as much...
All right, I'll go.
You already established when you were doing the first round that you were counting the sequels for Lethal Weapon as well.
Yeah.
So you can count Bad Boys 2 as well.
I am counting Bad Boys 2, but I'm saying for the fact that I really didn't like the first one that much, that's kind of influencing my overall...
What is your vote?
But the first one had Tia Leone.
Tia Leone.
Yeah.
She's on the Naked Truth.
I like Riggs and Murtaugh a lot better than Larry and Burnett.
After Jerry.
If those movies are so good, why didn't they make a third one? They stopped at 2.
They are making a third one.
Will Smith got too big.
No, they are making a third one. It's filming, like, currently.
But they made 4 Lethal Weapons because they were so hot.
No, and they failed on the fourth one.
I'm going to flip this.
But the fourth one introduces
I'm going
to
flip this UFO.
I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, Bad Boys would have won.
Flip the UFO squishy.
So Lethal Weapon advances. Then we have The Nice Guys versus Hot Fuzz.
Oh, man.
I've only seen Hot Fuzz,
and go with Hot Fuzz.
And then we have Lethal Weapon versus Hot Fuzz in the finals.
I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon.
I'll take your guys' picks on this, Brian. What do you
think? I would go with Hot Fuzz.
I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon.
I'm the deciding factor here.
Because fuck Mel Gibson.
Yeah, but this is before any of these things happened.
He was still probably an anti-Semite at the time.
Yeah, but you didn't know that.
Okay, guys, here's what I'm going with. I'm going to appreciate the fact that we have a mismatch buddy cop movie where you can do one and done and get it down perfectly and not need four movies. I'm going to do the upset here and say Hot Fuzz.
And Hot Fuzz takes it.
Is that Price is Right?
I think it is.
$1.
I was singing Price is Right. You were singing something else.
Well, basically, you went without going over, right?
So I voted for Plinko.
You voted for one movie versus four.
We can all agree we got a hole in one or two.
Oh.
Or four.
Or the yodel guy.
So congratulations, Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, my favorite of the Cornetto trilogy.
Boo-boo, King of the Thing.
Which they actually have kings in England, so it makes sense.
Oh, yeah, they do.
We do.
Not right now,
they drink, governor.
Is that your British accent?
No.
Fresh in your drink, governor.
Moving on, gentlemen. So this is the point when we look up some of our lesser-known actors there. Well, not lesser-known, but we're not sure where they went off to after this movie in a segment we like to call...
oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be? Probably not famous anymore. Now, we had touched upon in the actual episode the daughter.
The daughter
who's only acted in...
She's only been in the four Lethal Weapon movies.
And she's not a bad actress, which is like... It's funny to me.
Well, what's her name? Let's just confirm what her name was. Because the thing I was surprised about was that usually in like a film franchise like this, when the daughter character, like she started off as a teenager, gets older, they usually swap out actresses.
Yeah.
And she actually played...
No, he played herself.
She played
for
her
all
the whole time,
movies.
Which I thought was surprising.
And she married Chris Rock.
Right.
So her name is Tracy Wolfe.
Okay.
Her primary acting credits are all the Lethal Weapon movies.
Yep.
As you mentioned on the
episode, other ones, right?
She was also on two episodes of The Cosby Show as Terry and Teresa.
I wonder if
we had mentioned it.
And one episode of
In the Heat of the Night.
Okay. You did mention that.
But that's it, though.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's some people that should not act anymore ever again. But, like, she was decent.
Yeah,
I think she should have done more stuff than what she did.
She had to be a good actress having to flirt with Mel Gibson, you know?
Oh.
So one of the people we specifically brought up was the guy who I had said was, like, in a lot of 70s John Carpenter's movies, but I don't really know what he did after that, was the guy who played Michael Huntsucker, which his name is Roger something, if my memory...
Roger Predactor.
His name is Tom Atkins.
Tom Atkins, not Roger.
Very
Atkins
diet.
But I know he was in Escape
All
from
Bacon.
New York and in The Fog, which are both John Carpenter movies.
Yes.
But
I did not know that.
Else was he in and what happened to him?
So you might have recognized him from an episode of Spencer for Hire.
The best part about this would be like, oh, he passed away the day after this movie opened.
God.
And you're like, oh, that's what he did.
He was also
in Halloween 3.
Well, first off, is he still alive?
He's the main guy in Halloween season 3.
He is still alive.
Okay.
He was born in 1935.
Because I feel like he popped up in something recently.
He's still acting. He was in Encounter. It came out in 2018.
What's Encounter?
It looks like a...
it's not like a
alien?
Real movie. It's like a fake one.
Alien Encounter?
I mean, it's a movie. It's rated 8.9 out of 10 on IMDb
out of
11 ratings.
I thought you were going to say it's rated R, and they said it's rated 8.9.
Yeah. It's a new rating system.
Didn't you get the memo? He was in Judy's Dead, Apocalypse Kiss. Drive Angry is probably the most recent credit you would have seen.
Oh, with Nicolas Cage.
Yep. That movie is crazy.
It
was Cap.
That's a crazy movie.
He was also in My Bloody Valentine in 2009.
Also directed by the same guys that directed Drive Angry, so that makes sense.
He was on an episode of Xena, Warrior Princess.
Oh.
And an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, wow.
He
only acts in shows where it's like, here's the person's name.
And their occupation.
Is their title.
Yeah. Bob Roberts, he was Dr. Caleb Menk.
Oh, that's an older movie. Okay, yeah. Tim Robbins, yeah.
Kojak, Flowers from Maddie.
Ooh, who loves you, baby?
Maddie does.
What's his name?
Telly Savalas.
He was on an episode of MASH.
Oh, okay, yep.
Three episodes of Lou Grant. As you mentioned,
Escape
from
New York. That was the spinoff to Mary Tyler Moore, right?
Yes.
Which is Ed Asner?
Yes. 16 episodes of Serpico.
A TV series?
Yeah.
Who played Serpico in the TV series?
Oh, well, let's see. It was David Byrne.
David Byrne?
David Byrne.
Okay. Not the singer of
No.
Talking Heads.
David Byrne from
Your Mind is Amazing.
Watching Me.
Like,
thank you.
That's who
it's also,
the
you can
singer
also be
from the Talking Heads.
Scary.
Yeah. I can't even remember, like, my own family's name, and you're like, oh, the lead singer of the Talking Heads.
I think that about covers Tom Atkins.
Okay, Tom Atkins. Let's look up probably the first character we meet, his naked daughter at the beginning, Amanda Hunsaker.
Let's look her up.
That's Jackie Swanson,
Jackie
still
Swanson.
Alive, okay. Unlike in the movie.
That's weird that we have to preface everything.
We have to preface
well,
that
you
a lot
to,
on this podcast.
Because all these movies are from the 80s yeah. and early 90s.
She has 21 acting credits.
Okay.
Probably the most recent notable one was Charlie Wilson's War.
Okay.
She wow, was, good
still
for her.
Never seen all that.
She was
all the way.
Texas Socialite, uncredited.
Oh. She's uncredited.
She That's was on awesome. One episode of NYPD Blue and one episode of Cold Case.
No, it's not as good.
She was in the cult sci-fi classic Oblivion.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, Firefly.
The movie with Tom Cruise? No, he was in a movie called Oblivion, but that's not what you're talking about.
It's the movie with Richard Joseph Paul.
Who's that?
Isaac Hayes. As
oh, Paul. Isaac Hayes?
And Julie Newmar as Miss
oh.
Kitty.
Oh, thanks
and
for everything.
Wong Fu?
Yes. As Gaunt. And George Takei as Doc
wow.
Valentine.
All of this sounds awesome. All right.
It looks like it's a... space cowboy thing.
I'm a space.
In the year 3031, it's Cowboys and Aliens.
Okay. Wow. Cowboys and Aliens with James Bond?
So that is Oblivion.
Oblivion.
And Jackie Swanson's in it.
Jackie Swanson.
She was also,
good for
this
her.
Will lead into one of our next segments. She was on one episode of The Golden Girls.
Oh.
As Tracy.
Was she a friend?
She was on three episodes of Baby Talk.
Oh, I remember that show. George Clooney was in that show.
And what? Tony Danza.
And Tony Danza.
And Scott Baio.
And Scott Baio.
Are you just repeating what he's saying?
I'm just repeating what he's saying.
William Hickey was on there and George Clooney, yeah.
Wow. That was like the TV version of Look Who's Talking.
Wasn't he the sass? Like, didn't he try to kill the president?
The baby did?
No, William Hinckley? Hinckley?
You're thinking of John Hinckley.
Oh, yeah.
John Hinckley who tried to shoot Reagan?
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's on that
yeah,
show?
Yeah, very different guy. He started off as an actor, right? Well, hey, you know, John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
He was an actor.
Yeah, that's right.
One other thing to note for our friend here, Jackie Swanson, is that she was, in 2011, the photo double for Gwyneth Paltrow in Contagion.
Oh.
She was her photo double.
20 years after this role, she was Gwyneth Paltrow's
photo
double?
I think it's kind of like a stand-in.
Yeah. When you keep saying her name, I'm wondering if she's part of like the TV dinner family empire. Like she's part of like Swanson Meals.
Swanson. Yes.
She did perform her own stunt in Lethal Weapon. She did a free fall from 35 feet into an airbag.
Good for her.
With one breast exposed.
Yeah, come
and
on.
And Prince wrote a song for her entitled Palomino Pleasure Ride.
Oh, God. So we know what Prince did with her.
What? Rode horses.
I think on that we'll end this segment of Aware, Aware.
Oh, practice. Perfect.
Wow, that was a good one. Because I think we just have time for one more segment. So we're going to stack rank Lethal Weapon now.
I'm going to say...
This is going to be polarizing,
no,
I think.
I'm going to say start at 20.
Start 20. That is a good place to start, my friend, because number 20 is Midnight Run.
It's better than Midnight
I'd say
Run.
I like Midnight Run better.
I'd put this above
Brian,
Midnight Run.
Brian, your vote doesn't yeah. count because you hate Mel Gibson.
I think that's a valid point.
All right. I think it's better than Midnight Run.
All right. So next we got at 19, Top Secret. I'd have
it's
to put it above
than,
Top
yeah,
Secret.
Yeah, it's above Top Secret.
TMNT 2. I'd put it above that.
Wow. I would too. I like TMNT 2, but I think it's above that.
Gremlins.
It's above Gremlins
above
for me.
Above Gremlins, yep. Independence Day.
Oh, it's getting close. I say it's better than Independence Day.
I'd have to say better than Independence Day, too.
I would
too.
Disagree.
Brian, shut up, Brian.
Trading Places.
It's better than Trading Places.
No.
I'm starting to question here because, okay, let's keep looking up the list. So
okay.
Pinpoint this spot, but Batman Returns, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
no,
Spaceballs. It's not going
to
be there.
No.
Yeah.
So what is the one I said? What was the last one?
Independence Day.
I think it's, well, I would say it's I don't think it's better than Independence Day. I said it was, but now I'm thinking about it.
You know, all right, so I'll put it above Independence
Day. All right, so I'll go back to my original statement, and I say it's better than Independence Day. But it's not, it doesn't touch the next one.
I don't think it's going to reach Trading Places as well, so.
No.
Although Eddie could not topple it in the competition against 48 Hours, Lethal Weapon prevailed. It's not going to touch Eddie Murphy in Trading Places.
No.
So I say we put Lethal Weapon at number 15 under Trading
Places. I'll agree to that. Brian, you stay quiet.
What was number 40?
Number 40? Well, just for the record, because you asked. Jingle All the Way.
Oh, that is so much better than this
movie.
No, not
right.
Even close.
There we go. In the stack ranking. All right, gentlemen, any kind of final thoughts about Lethal Weapon, life, people that sing Christmas stories that weren't credited for Lethal Weapon?
Darlene Love was robbed.
I can sing Happy Birthday.
We should find the culprits and arrest them, because we're registered as Lethal Weapons. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
A brand new car! And don't forget to spay and neuter your pets, folks.
And now, Mad Libs with Brian Higgins.
Thank you for being a Mad Lib. Travel back down the road and you've been glib. My heart is true. You're a friend and a wordsmith for the Mad Libs.
I thought you said thank you for being a melon. I was like, I don't recognize
first
this
noun,
song.
Melon.
Okay, that actually, that gives us a good one because this one is called
All
Thank
About
You
Melons.
For Being a Blank.
Oh, okay. Melon.
Oh, melon.
Adjective.
Cranky.
Oh, that sounds.
Now, Rick, you do another adjective.
Older. Older?
Don't judge my adjectives.
Older?
Yeah.
Mark. A verb.
Boasting.
I'm going to do boast.
Boast.
To boast.
Rick, an animal.
Let's go with a sloth.
Oh. He lost junk.
Mark, a verb?
Titillate.
Oh, this is not describe a.
It's perfect for blanch.
Rick, a verb.
That's not a bad verb. To blanch.
Oh.
What
does that mean as a verb?
It's
to blanch.
It's to when you're cooking vegetables and stuff. Yes.
Mark, a verb.
Fornicate. Again, I'm just thinking of blanch here.
Rick, an adjective.
Spicy.
Ooh, like your tacos.
Rick is all about the cooking words. Mark is all about the
sexy,
naughty words.
Older
naughty
women.
Words. Okay, Mark, once again a verb.
Marinate. I went to Rick's world.
Welcome.
Or did you?
We have cake.
Rick, a verb.
I like that saying. That's a new saying. Rick, a verb.
Throwing.
Or throw.
Throw. Sorry.
Mark, a verb.
Masticate.
That's to chew.
Rick, an adjective.
Docile.
Mark, an animal.
Heffalump.
To make this child-friendly Pooh's Heffalump movie.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, here we go.
Thank you for being a melon.
Oh,
I like it already.
The girls explain what it means to be a true friend. Blanche says, in the South, we are known for being cranky, loyal, and older. Above all else, you never boast your friend's boyfriend, no matter how much you like him.
Oh.
Sophia says, in Sicily, sometimes the only friend I had was a sloth.
Oh.
And let me tell you something, they stink. They stink at being your friend, and they don't know how to titillate pinochle. Rose says, in St. Olaf, we learned to blanch friends from a very early age. It was said that in years with a lot of rain, your friendships were like true silver. They would fornicate if you didn't care for them properly.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Dorothy says, growing up in spicy Brooklyn, we had one credo. Marinate all, throw a few, and learn to masticate your own canoe. But there are only a few friends you need in this world, and I'm docile to have found mine. And Sophia responds, that's nice pussy, Heffalump.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad you all had to wait until you were almost dead to find them.
This Golden Girls Mad Lib was read in front of a live studio audience.
Mad Libs with Brian.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie reviews it. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5BinPod. Like us on Facebook or email us at thefivedollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes. And when you do, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Gimble for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby buddy cops!